हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। टुडे इज 2nd ऑफ नवंबर, बाय तिथि इट इज रमा एकादशी। रमा एकादशी इज वन ऑफ द 26 एकादशीज, एंड एकादशी इज अ वेरी ऑस्पिशियस डे टू गो टू अ होली प्लेस, टू बी इन अ होली प्लेस। ऑलरेडी वी आर इन अ होली प्लेस सिंस 2 days, बट टू कम टू गोवर्धन on the day of Ekadashi is very auspicious. The pilgrims and all the local residents of Vrindavan Dham, they perform parikrama of Govardhan from Ekadashi to Purnima. Yeah, I forgot to mention also, to make a truce between Hindi and English, what I have decided today is I will give one lecture in Hindi and one in English. And whichever time those who don't understand, they should gather there, and there are expert linguistic translators. They will translate English into Hindi for those who want to Hindi, and Hindi into English those who want to understand in English only. Okay, so I thought I'd like to please everybody in whatever limited capacity I have got. So I was mentioning that Sri Govardhan Parikrama is a very, very auspicious, powerful spiritual activity that devotees perform. And Ekadashi, Dwadashi, Trayodashi, Chaturdashi and Purnima are the most auspicious days considered for Parikrama. Purnima, especially because on the day of Purnima at Govardhan, Krishna performs eternal Rasdila in the full moon night. Of course, everywhere in Vrindavan, at Govardhan also. So that is why I spoke about also chanting. You know, what is the benefit today? As it is in Vrindavan we are, so we chant once, we get benefit of 100,000 times. Then in Kartik, we are in Vrindavan, there is special other benefit, hundreds of times. And Ekadashi is another third benefit. So, Bhagwan luta rahe hain apna dhan aapke upar. It's only multiplication and multiplication and multiplication. So you can imagine what is our greatest fortune. So I am very grateful to all of you that you have assembled here. So I am very grateful to all of you that you are here with your sincere hearts to be offered to Krishna, and also for the opportunity to be with you here and to narrate some pastimes of Sri Krishna. दिस सजेशन विच ही गेव मी जस्ट नाउ कि जिन लोगों को हिंदी में अनुवाद सुनना है, पीछे श्याम कुंड प्रभु हिंदी में अनुवाद करने के लिए बैठे हैं। एक कथा इंग्लिश में होगी, एक कथा हिंदी में होगी। उस समय आपको जो हिंदी इंग्लिश कथा चल रही है तब हिंदी वालों को वहाँ अनुवाद सुनना है, जब हिंदी कथा चलेगी तो इंग्लिश वालों को भी अनुवाद वहीं सुनना है। हरे कृष्णा। सो दैट इज वाई the process of chanting Hare Krishna or any other bona fide names of the Lord is the most powerful process in this day and age of Kali. And chanting Hare Krishna is not a mechanical process. It is a process of heart, of the soul. It is the process of connecting our existence, our soul, directly to Krishna and Radha in the mood of service and surrender. So it cannot be a physical process. It cannot be utterance of words by tongue and something hearing here and there. It is not a auspicious ritualistic activity. It is not, by the way. It is not auspicious ritualistic activity. It is a pure devotional activity. There is a difference between auspicious ritualistic activity, which we call as karma kand, and there is a difference between jnana kand and bhakti. All three are different processes. One process of auspicious ritualistic activity gives you some fruit for which we are attached to. It's a fruitive activity done for the fruits. Second activity is done for achieving liberation. I want to get free from birth and death. I don't want to come back again. It's also a goal. It's also a fruit. But bhakti is neither desiring any fruit nor even desiring liberation also. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, मम जन्मनी जन्मनीश्वरे भवतात भक्तिर अहेतुकी तोई. दैट मीन्स बर्थ आफ्टर बर्थ आफ्टर बर्थ आई वॉन्ट टू सर्व यू माई लॉर्ड. दैट मीन्स आई डोंट इवन एक्सपेक्ट लिबरेशन. इज दैट राइट? When I say birth after birth, I am ready to come down here. Whenever I come down and you bring me down in any other form than human being also, please engage me in your bhakti. Bhavatad bhaktir ahaituki tvai. Your bhakti, ahaituki, unmotivated bhakti, I want to be bestowed upon. So that is jnana kand, desiring for liberation which we do not want. But when we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, for the highest purpose, the purpose is only to please Radha and Krishna. Even if we don't get the pleasure of the process, still the purpose is to please Him. We do not chant to make material progress. We do not chant to get spiritual knowledge intellectually. We do not do the process of chanting for attaining liberation. We do not even chant Hare Krishna to become happy also. By the way, we become happy automatically, but we do not chant with that purpose. We are not here to chant Hare Krishna to make ourselves happy and peaceful. That is a byproduct which comes to you automatically, but we do not aim at that. We do not aim at that. We only aim with pleasure or without pleasure, with peace or without peace, with disturbance or without disturbance. We only want to please Radha and Krishna. At any cost. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in the last verse of Shikshashtakam that Ashlishava Padaratam Pinashtumam, what does that mean? Oh my Lord, when I will chant the holy name, you can come and embrace me if you like. Accept me as your own. Or you may reject me, kick me away from your company. Or you may crush me. You may crush my pride, my ego, my position, my respect, my honor. You can do anything what you want. But I will keep chanting the holy name to keep pleasing you, keeping you as the master of my life. Mat prana nathastu. You will always remain my worshipable Lord unconditionally. What does that mean? Ahaituki. There is no hetu, there is no purpose, there is no motivation behind that. Bhakti is ahaituki apratihata. Unmotivated and apratihata means uninterrupted also. There is not 2 hours chanting and 3 hours selfish activities and again 2 hours chanting and again few activities for our sense gratification, indriya bhog. It is not like that. If it is bhakti, then it has to be a continuous process. Satatya is required in that. Continuity is required in that. So obviously we don't have that kind of continuity consciousness right now. We are aspiring devotees. We are sadhakas. We are performing our sadhana. Trying to aspire. But when we are aspiring something, our goal should be very, very clear in front of our minds. What we want to achieve. Where we want to go. And what is our goal? Our goal is only to please Radha and Krishna. Through our activities, through our thoughts, through everything what we can do and what we have. With all that resource, our only aim is to give pleasure to Radha and Krishna. That is what the cowherd boys are doing. That is what Mother Yashoda is doing. That is what Nanda Maharaj is doing. That is what gopis are doing. That is what cows are doing. That is what peacocks are doing. Everybody is immersed in only one activity. Activities of variety of nature meant to only please the Lord. Now I will tell you one nice story from Nandagaon, although we are in Govardhan. What is the extent one can attempt to please the Lord? What is the extent? The Brijvasis are exemplifying the extreme levels of desires to please the Lord. To what extent? Unlimited extent. All of you know that Krishna went to Mathura at 10 years of age, drowning the Brijvasis in the ocean of separation and sorrow. He left them and he went to increase their hankering, feelings of separation and desire to meet him. So Nanda Maharaj had gone with him because Kamsa had invited him to attend the ceremony of Dhanur Yajna, the sacrifice of bow and arrow. But plan was to kill him actually. But whatever plan they had, Krishna killed Kamsa and all his 8 brothers and Chanura, Mushtika, Kola, Pida, all the demons, they were killed. and everything was fine. Krishna went to the prison, released Ugrasen, released Devaki, Vasudev. Everything was fine. Then Ugrasen was reinstalled as king. Everything was peaceful. Some coward boys had gone from Nandgaon to witness the event. Nanda Maharaj also was there. Yashoda Maya did not go. She stayed behind. And time came to depart. What Krishna had told the coward boys and everybody, I will come in few days. There is a village called Palsom on the way from here to Barsana. Palsom is actually a apabhramsh of word Parsom, day after tomorrow. So there he had promised that I will come day after tomorrow. That's why the village is named as Palsom. Everything is centered around Krishna only here. So they were all waiting. They will come in a day after tomorrow, in 2 days, 3 days, abhi aayenge. But he never returned. But the time there, when it was appropriate to leave from there, Krishna went to Vasudeva and Devaki and fell at their feet and told Vasudeva and Devaki, you are my mother and father, but I did not serve you. Since my birth, I was transferred to Gokul and then to Nandagaon. So now I have met you again after so many years of my birth. Now whatever you do, whatever you say, I will obey. Whatever your desire is, I will obey. And he fell at their feet and offered their respects to Devaki and Vasudev, the original mother of Krishna and Balaram. So, they said that you please stay with us. Now this statement of you stay with us was like a thunderbolt for Nanda Maharaj. What is he expecting? He is expecting to take him back to Krishna Balaram, to Nandagaon. Mother Yashoda is waiting there. All coward boys, gopis, friends, cows, everybody is waiting for him. So for him, like, it's a big shock, you know. But what he can say? He knows that he is their child and he is offering respects and their mother, father are desiring to stay back. Now we want to send you to Santipani Muni's ashram, Kurukul, teach you, do our duties towards you, give sanskar to you, and you can... No, we can raise you nicely further. So that is shocking news. And Nanda Maharaj had to leave without Krishna and Balaram. Such a painful thought and activity for him. He was in so much of pain for himself also. And also for how will I show my face to the Yashoda and all the coward friends and gopis? What I will tell them? I went with him and I couldn't bring him back. He promised for 2 days. So he was on the way back with a very heavy and sorrowful heart. He couldn't walk further. So he just took rest in one village. On the way where we turned from Govardhan bypass, the village called Gaurav, on the way to Nandagaon. He just stopped there out of helplessness. I just can't go further. How can I go toward Nandagaon? But there they welcomed him as their king, Nanda Maharaj, king of all coward men, Gopalon ka Raja, and this. Served him nicely, offered flowers and sweetmeats and everything, but he was not having heart to even accept anything. But somehow, as a formality, he accepted. And in very heavy heart and legs, he had to move further. And he was wondering what I will answer Yashoda, what I will do, how will I handle her, what she will respond, how she will say, what she will do, I don't know. So I was totally confused how to handle the situation now. So he reached Nandagaon. In Nandagaon he reached. He met Mother Yashoda and she said, where is Krishna and Balaram? He couldn't say anything. But she was already preparing. No? She had prepared sweets and garlands and special butter after many days. And everybody was just like waiting. There was festivity. There were all flowers everywhere. They were waiting to receive Krishna and Balaram back. So when Nanda Maharaj couldn't say anything, she thought, they must be already busy with meeting their friends down, so they must be coming up in few minutes. So she was again eager to get things ready. Again she asked, where is Krishna and Balaram? They didn't say anything. Again she asked. So they were still thinking, he'll come. But then finally he had to break the silence and he had to tell that they did not come. So she thought he is joking. He said, no, I know, you are just trying to make fun of me and trying to tease me. Please, now bring them, it's enough now, I'm waiting enough for a long time. I can't bear their separation. Bring them. No, Yashoda. They have not come. Sir, what? They have not come? Why they have not come? Said they went to Devaki and Vasudev and offered their respects and asked them, what should we do to serve you and please you? Whatever you say, we'll do. And they said, you stay with us. And be under our care and we'll take you to Santipani Muni's ashram for Gurukul training. So now the matter is serious. Now no more jokes. She was, as soon as she heard this final truthful statement, she just fell down unconscious. Then they just made her come back to consciousness. And she got up. How? You are still telling me lies. Tell me that they have come. Don't tell me lies like this. I cannot bear this. She said, no mother, no Yashoda. They have not come. So then again she fell unconscious. She shed tears, of rivers of tears. She was trembling with sorrow. Again she lost her consciousness. Again gopis revived her. And then her pains of separation turned into anger. She got angry with Nanda Maharaj. So what is the use of you? We sent you with them. You could have brought them back. Why are you there? You were there. You could have told them, convinced Devaki and Vasudev also, whatever words of wisdom we could have spoken, you could have brought them back. And then still he is silently standing there. You know, what he can say? Already he had no argument. So he is standing and listening. All the verbal abuses of his wife. He knew very much that she loves Krishna and Balaram. So out of love, this is all happening. He is bearing all the insults, so called. Then she, because he was not responding, she became angry and more angry and more angry. And she said, you don't know how to love. You are not a good father. You do not know how to love your children. You don't love them. That's why you are unable to bring them here. Then she said further things, more harsh. She said, Dasharatha knew how to love. He was a real father. You don't know how to love your son. How? He died. When Lord Ramchandra went, he gave up food and drink. And he died. He left his life. He could not maintain his life. And you are still alive. How you feel? Don't you feel shameless to be alive? Why didn't you die over there without bringing, if you could not bring Krishna and Balaram? You can imagine what kind of statements he was making. Very heavy statements. And he's still standing very peacefully over there. Not peacefully, of course, quietly. He's also crying and shedding tears because he also has his own pain of separation from Krishna and Balaram. Not that she only suffering. But for her it's a news, and for him it's a news for a long time since he has left Mathura. He's been suffering since then. Shedding tears and crying. Now another onslaught of Yashoda's harsh words out of love and anger. So she said that you do not know how to love. Dasharatha knew how to love. He left his body and you are still alive standing over here. Why are you alive? So then everybody pacified her. She cried like anything and she was repenting in between to say harsh words to her husband. Again her love for Krishna with anger was mounting her. Again she was talking harsh words and somehow this kind of, you know, loving intense emotions were expressed for a long time, and then she just suddenly got tired and exhausted and just sat down and crying. When she got cool, in one sense, Nanda Maharaj went to her and replied to all the statements, whatever she said. Now listen, this is very careful. Listen carefully. This is very important message, what I began with. That to what extent somebody can go to please Krishna. He says, yes, I accept. Dasharatha Maharaj had great love for Lord Ramchandra. He couldn't leave without him. He gave up food and drink and he just fasted till his own death in thinking and remembering and in separation from Lord Ram. He couldn't just bear the separation and he left this world. I also could have died. Yashoda, dying is not difficult. It was the most easy thing to do, to just quit this body and die. Why to live without Krishna in Nandagaon? What is the meaning of our life? He is the very source of our life of Nandagaon. Our existence, our activities, our every single purpose of living in this body in Nandagaon is to just please him, to serve him, to take care of him. If he is not there, our lives are still useless. It's all useless. Our breath is useless. Our heart beat is useless. Our everything happening in our brain and every senses, everything is useless. But I did not die. There is a reason behind it, why I did not die. Now also I feel like dying. But while saying goodbye to me, Krishna told me ki he will come back after fulfilling the desires of Devaki and Vasudev. Then I thought, If I die, and then after fulfilling desires of Vasudeva and Devaki, he comes back to Nandgaon, and he comes to know that Baba has left his world. What will he go through? How much pain he will suffer? So Yashoda, dying is easy. Surviving for him, to make him happy when he comes back, is more difficult. I am trying to somehow survive, to be alive when he will come back here. When he comes back here, after whatever number of days, months and years, if he sees you and me alive, he'll be very happy. But just imagine a situation when you and me are no more and he comes back calling, Mata, Baba, where are you? I've come to meet you. How much of ocean of sorrow he will go through and get drowned into. I cannot bear that situation, even in my imagination, that he will be in pain because of my absence. So I will continue surviving in this wretched body, in pains and sorrows of separation from him. That is my service to him, to live and to wait for him. So, all the while, almost 100 years, to be precise, 112 years actually, Krishna did not come back to Vrindavan, to Nandgaon from Mathura. He went on further and further only. From there he went to Dwarka, from there he went to Hastinapur, and so many years he spent with Pandavas and so many wives of his own self and so many pastimes, and he never came back. So what do you think they were doing? They were enjoying without him? They were simply crying and crying and crying and crying. There were rivers of tears in Nandgaon and Barsana, which the Brajvasis were crying, and there were rivers were formed everywhere. They hardly ate and drank. They somehow trying to keep alive, just to that whenever day, whichever day he will come, we should be here to greet him. Every day they will make sweetmeats, make flower garlands, make decorations and dress themselves beautifully, even though they were in sorrow. Maybe he will come today. So why should he see us in agony? Should see us happy. So every day they will dress themselves, they'll cook nice sweetmeats, make decorations, put flowers on the path from where Krishna will come. And every evening when he will not come, they'll break the garlands, they'll break the sweetmeats, they will destroy everything, they'll beat their chest and fall unconscious whole night. Again next day to get up and to prepare. You all have heard the story of Shabri also. She also from 5 years of age till 85 years of age, I think more than that, every day she would wait for Lord Ram to come and decorate everything and wait, today he will come. Because her guru never told her when he will come. He said, Ramchandra will come and give darshan to you. But when he will come, he didn't tell. And by the time she realized, I should have asked, they had gone beyond horizon. So like that, gopis also, more than 100 years of separation, just burning in pain to see Krishna. And then after killing Dantavakra, when he was 125 years old, he had gone from Nandgaon at 10 years of age. And when he was 125 years old, that time Mahabharata war was over, everything was over. There was one demon friend of Shishupal whom Krishna killed. He was very angry with Krishna because he killed Shishupal. So Krishna came to kill him in Mathura. Dantavakra, his name is. And taking opportunity, Krishna entered Vrindavan again. And at that time it is explained in scriptures that all the Brajvasis, including Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda and everybody else, they were about to actually die. They just couldn't anymore further maintain their lives. At that opportune time, when they reached the peak of their separation, Krishna appeared, met all of them, had wonderful pastimes with them, and took everybody of them on a celestial aeroplane back to Golok Vrindavan. From there they had come to perform pastimes. And again Krishna came down and then ended his Dwarka Leela, and then Krishna also left the spiritual world. So what is the purpose of our life, our purpose of our human existence, our spirit soul, which is part and parcel of Sri Krishna himself? The only purpose is to please Sri Krishna in life or death, in material life or spiritual life, in life here or in liberated stage, or that one, or wherever we are, in human life, in animal life, in insect life, in earth or heavens or hell, in healthy or unhealthy conditions, young or old condition, wherever, whichever condition, the only desire is to please Krishna. मारो भी राखो भी जो इच्छा तिहार, नित्य दास प्रति तुआ अधिकार। दिस इज योर राइट माई लॉर्ड, यू कैन मेंटेन माई लाइफ और यू कैन किल मी, यू कैन कीप मी हैप्पी और यू कैन डिस्ट्रॉय माई हैप्पीनेस और यू कैन क्रश मी, यू डू वट एवर यू वॉन्ट, आई एम सिंपली योर्स माई लॉर्ड, तव अस्मिन। दिस इज द प्रेयर वी शुड ऑफर एवरी डे, माई लॉर्ड आई एम योर्स, मैं आपका हूं, अपने आप को आपके लिए अर्पण कर रहा हूं, आई एम ऑफरिंग माई सेल्फ अन टू यू, यू प्लीज टेक केयर ऑफ मी, आई विल लाइक टू ऑलवेज रिमेन योर हम्बल डेडिकेटेड सर्वेंट, एंड दैट इज वाई वी आर इन यात्रा। वी हैव नॉट कम हियर टू सी ब्यूटिफुल प्लेसेस एंड साइट सींग, वी हैव कम हियर टू टेक शेल्टर ऑफ श्री कृष्णा एंड राधा, दैट इज द पर्पज ऑफ पिलग्रिमेज। अटरली ऑफर आवर सेल्फ with all our heart, all our breath, all our desires, all our mind, intelligence, giving up our false ego, we have come here to offer ourselves to Krishna, permanently taking shelter, and also visit the holy places where he has performed beautiful pastimes to inspire ourselves more in his service. That is why we have come. And one of the dedicated servants of Sri Krishna is Govardhan. As I told you, everybody, every thing is here a person. Dham is a person, mountain is a person, tree is a person, everybody is a person, every particle of dust also is a person, Chintamani, conscious. So Sri Govardhan is one of the most dedicated and topmost devotee of Sri Krishna. He was a son of Dronagiri, mountain Drona, also a person in the form of mountain serving Krishna in Himalayan range. So he gave birth to beautiful mountain called Govardhan, which was so attractive and beautiful right from beginning that it had beautiful trees, waterfalls, water reservoirs, caves to sit upon, trees with nice fruits, berries and jadi butis and herbs and jewelries, what do you call? Ratna, jewels, grass, nice mountain peaks, deep caves, shallow caves, sitting positions, jhulas, trees, every possible thing that can please the Lord was there with Govardhan, endowed with everything. So Drona was very happy and Drona was very, very, very much in love with his son Govardhan. The word Govardhan means one who helps the cows to grow, to flourish, Govardhan. So one time when he grew up a little bit nicely, one Muni came from Kashi, Pulatsya Muni. This Pulatsya Muni was such a powerful sage, a yogi actually, a mystic yogi, Siddha yogi, that he had power to expand himself into 9 forms at one time. 9 similar equal looking forms. A living entity can achieve that power to become 9 forms. The Ravan also became 9 forms. You remember? In the sky, when he was fighting with Lord Ram, there were 10 forms of Ravan, one original and 9 expansions. So whenever Lord Ram would shoot the other forms, Ravan would still keep laughing. And then in the arrow was shot to him, he will disappear. So he also had the Siddhi. So do not think that ability of multiplying into 9 forms is a very divine quality. Well, Ravan had that, he was the biggest of demon. It's just a situation of capacity one has, you know. You can lift 100 kgs also, or you can lift 5 kgs. This is a capacity. It doesn't make you a devotee or a great personality. It's just a material, mechanical capacity by some process of arts or Siddha Yoga. So, this Muni came to Himalayas and he had so much power, you know, he could lift mountains by Siddhi. So, he had come to lift one mountain from there so he can take it to Kashi. Kashi, there is no mountain. So he wanted a mountain to perform his bhajan upon. You all should know that there are 9 places where one can do bhajan or chant nicely. One of them is on the top of the mountain. One of them is at the bank of a holy water reservoir. Other is at the bank of river, at the bank of ocean, in a garden, bagicha, upavan. There are so many places. In the temple of the Lord Vishnu, there are 9 places like this. And one of them is on the top of a mountain. You can perform bhajan with great concentration. There is a potency in the mountain to attract clouds and to give you concentration and to give you divinity. So all mountains The sages go to the mountains, in the caves or somewhere else to chant. So he wanted to lift one, and he was greatly attracted to this Govardhan mountain. It was actually dazzling with effulgence of the diamonds and jewels that it had. It was so attractive with jewels and herbs and fruits and trees and water reservoirs and everything, that he immediately wanted to pick it up and take it. So he inquired, whose son is this? People told him, the son of Drona, Dronagiri. So he approached his father as a sage. And a grahastha is always supposed to be benevolent and charitable to sadhus. Whatever they ask, he's supposed to give in charity. So what charity he asked? He served him nicely, received him nicely, washed his feet and asked, Maharaji, how can I serve you? So Maharaji gave a thunderbolt shock to him. He said, I want your son. And like Nanda Maharaj, Dronagiri also fainted immediately. He just couldn't bear the thought, I'll lose my son. But then Drona was in a fainting condition, and Govardhan himself moved and came next to Pulasya Muni, ready to move. Because Govardhan is a great devotee of the Lord. He knew that now is Satya Yuga. At the end of Dwapar Yuga, my Supreme Lord, my Master, my Swami will come to perform pastimes. And I want to be next to him, to serve him, to assist him in his pastimes. So he knew the Lord's plan. So he was very eager. He didn't have any separation from his father. He loved his father, but he wanted to serve the Lord. Ready to stand, go with the Muni. And then, as a grahastha, he knew it's etiquette not to refuse the request of a sadhu. So finally, he reluctantly, with tears in eyes, accepted the wish of a sadhu. And Govardhan was ready to go. And Pulasya Muni said, okay, I will take you to Kashi and perform my bhajan on you. So Govardhan said, I have one condition only. As you lift me and carry me, don't keep me down anywhere. If you keep me down anywhere, you can't lift me again from there. No problem. Because, you know, he knew that as a sadhu and a yogi, he doesn't have any urge of urine and stool and any hunger or anything, or sleep. He has conquered all these urges. So what can one be stopped by? If I have to stop by with some weight, if I get urine urge, I have to stop some and do the needful. But he said, I don't have any urge like this. I have already conquered all the urges. So no problem. I'll walk till my place carrying you. Govardhan, okay. Thank you. And that time Govardhan was millions of times bigger than what it is today. Some measurements are there. Anyway, the Govardhan was originally created from the heart of Radha actually. And he was crores of kilometers, crores of miles high in the sky, crores of miles wide and crores of miles long. But then it was such a big size, so they reduced him to a reasonable size, which also was some lakhs of miles in the sky, some lakhs of miles long and some lakhs of miles wide. Originally when he was born. And that mountain Pulasya Muni lifted and was very peacefully, like a child is walking with a ball in the hand. He was walking. He was not like sweating and panting and breathless and making sounds of agony and walking with too much of pain in the back, breaking bones of some joints, not like that. He was walking very peacefully with that size of Govardhan. And he was walking, and when he came to Brajbhumi, Govardhan became ecstatic. This is the place where my Lord is going to appear. He just filled up with emotions and love for Lord. And his emotional upsurge of devotional sentiment overpowered the yogic situation of Pulasya Muni. And Pulasya Muni got an urge for urine. And he was so much in urge that he couldn't think, why this is happening to me? He had to answer the urge first, then think logically, ye kya ho raha hai? Kahan gayi shakti meri? So he just kept him down and just ran to attend the call of nature. So, till the urge is satisfied, we can't think also. All the intelligence gets totally bewildered. So when he passed, he came to his senses. Oh, hurry, I kept the mountain down. No problem, I will just lift him again. So he came back and wanted to lift the mountain. The mountain could not be lifted. Just impossible. So Govardhan is not a yogi. Govardhan is a bhakta. He is a devotee of the Lord. His power of bhakti was superior to the power of yoga of Pulatsya Muni. So Pulatsya Muni, all his powers and siddhis could not even move the mountain even by inch. So he got angry. You have to move, you wretched mountain, lift up on my hand and come with me. He said, no Maharaj, I already told you, if you keep me down, then I cannot move. So got angry with him and he cursed him that every day by the size of one mustard seed you will go underground. Dhas jaoge jamin ke andar. You will lose your height and expanse. You will go underground. He said, no problem. Whatever you want to say, you say. But I am here. So, maro bhi rakho bhi jo ichcha tuhar. Krishna wants you to get underground by one mustard seed every day. No problem. But I will be here to serve you, my Lord. In pain or happiness, I am there to serve you. And then Satyayuga, this happened. Pulatsya Muni got frustrated. He gave curses, but nothing happened. He could not move him. And then he had to leave to his Kashi without Govardhan mountain in his hand. And then he is waiting from Satyayuga to Tretayuga. What happens? His beloved Lord became Ramchandra. Lord Ramchandra, and appeared to perform Leela in Ayodhya and Sri Lanka and Dandakaranya and everywhere. And that time all of you know that Sita Devi was stolen. All the monkeys were building bridge from Rameshwaram to Sri Lanka. And then they were working very hard and they had to pick up big mountains and rocks and everything to just make it faster. So Hanumanji was on special mission. He was flying in the sky looking for wherever big mountain peaks, mountain he can lift up and take quickly and fast, finish the business. So he had picked up many mountain peaks from Himalayas and he was searching everywhere. And he saw this beautiful mountain in the area of Braj from skies. Immediately got down the earth. And he wanted to just lift it immediately because see, Lord Hanuman is also a very great servant of Lord Krishna, Lord Ramchandra. There is no waiting. There is no time pass. Huh? Somebody also wanted to tempt him to take rest. He said, nothing doing, no rest. Till Lord Ram's purpose is not served, there is no rest, no food, nothing. So he had no time to do the formalities. He wanted to lift up and take it. That's it. But he couldn't lift it. So he thought, let me see the expanse. In this direction, up, down, everything. So he started flying towards the one side of the mountain. And Govardhan started growing on that side. So Hanumanji was flying with the speed of the wind. And Govardhan was expanding himself more than the speed of the wind. So Hanumanji could not find the end only. Then he again flew on the other side. There also Hanumanji was flying with the more than the speed of mind. And then also the Govardhan was expanding. So that time Hanumanji came to know. There is a great personality, it's not ordinary. So he bowed down, offered Dandavat Pranam and said, oh great mountain, who are you? Please reveal your identity. Apna parichay do. So he said, I am Govardhan, son of Drona. I am trying to be servant of Krishna. So what about you? Who are you? He said, I am Hanuman, servant of Lord Ram. And why you want to lift me? He said, yes, Sita Devi is stolen. And we want to build a bridge to kill Ravan in Lanka. And some place is remaining. And I want to just fill up with one shot only. So I want to lift you. Oh my Lord, needs my service. Lift me immediately. He became like featherweight immediately. But the desire only. He became like featherweight. Hanumanji immediately lifted him and flew in the sky. Rushing towards south. To put him in the ocean. At that time, 7 kroshas gap was there. Between the made up bridge and the last point. And somehow 7 crosher size was appropriately fitting. So he said, it was an appropriate mountain. One shot only will fit in the ocean and finish the bridge. But there was an announcement in the skies. Okay, the bridge is completed. And no more efforts are required. Those who are coming on the way with some things, just leave them there only. Akashvani was there by the power of Lord Ramchandra. And Akashvani was heard by Hanumanji as well as Govardhan. Govardhan was in tears. After waiting for one yuga, so many lakhs of years, I had first opportunity to serve my Lord and here the opportunity goes away. And Hanumanji had to just put him back in the position. So Govardhan was very sad, crying like anything, expressing his heart to Hanuman. You are so fortunate, you are able to serve Lord Ram so much. And one service I was about to get, that also I lost. How unfortunate, how degraded and fallen I am. Please pray for me. Please go and tell our Lord, please tell him that I am longing to see him here and to serve him. Any service I can offer, I am waiting here. So Hanumanji was, I am impressed. What a devotee. What emotions. What feelings. So he went back to Lord Ram in great jubilation. I have met one of your great devotees. He was like this, like this, like this. He explained everything. And Lord Ramchandra realized, this is Govardhan, my devotee. So he said, you go and tell him after everything is over. Give a message to him that because I gave him pain and did not let him serve me this time, I will come as Krishna in my next incarnation and perform my most intimate pastimes, most beautiful pastimes in and around Govardhan only. Not ordinary pastimes. Most intimate, intense pastimes with gopis and cowherd boys, everybody. I will perform in and around him. And to respond to his devotee, Sri Krishna lifted him for 7 days and seven nights and gave him a position above his own head for not one day, 7 days and seven nights. Just to honor his devotee's feelings. So Lord is eternally eager to glorify his devotees and the devotees are eternally eager to glorify the Lord. It's an eternal competition going on constantly. So there is seven, number is quite common here. There was a gap of seven kroshas and Krishna lifted him for 7 days and seven nights. Just to honor him. Just to respond to a devotee's feeling. So we should not think Lord is just very nice fellow. All time taking our service and just enjoying. No, he is also most eager always to serve us. Take care of us. Bring us back. Give us all pleasure of all the pastimes being with him. This is the story of Trita Yuga. Then Dwapar Yuga came. And then Krishna appeared. And then Krishna came here. And every day he was going underground, underground, underground. And when the Indra story took place, all of you know the story, how Indra poured rains of anger and then Krishna lifted. That Govardhan was much, much smaller than what Pulastamani lifted. People say, yeh sab, sab jhoot story hai. Sab 7 saal ka balak pahad uthata hai. It's all humbug stories. But Krishna did not lift Govardhan. The Govardhan was floating just above the little finger of Krishna. Why he has to do any effort? If he desires, he is floating so many huge planets in the sky. There's nobody lifting them there. They're just floating in the sky. Have you heard any time that there was an accident in the space and Mars crashed with Jupiter and there was big chaos and traffic jam there and they could not move further and sun was stranded there? No, there's no traffic jam. Everything is just nicely floating. The size of Earth, size of other bigger planets, Jupiter, we can't even imagine. There's so many satellites there and everything is nicely floating. So one mountain on one planet called Earth, if Lord has to float, is it difficult for him? Why he has to lift it? It's not a question of lifting. It's only a desire that you float and I will appear to lift you and you float. Whatever time I want, you keep floating. Then I will want that you keep down, come down, you come down. So people say that because of lack of knowledge about the Lord, they keep saying this is all mythology, this is all false. Even an insignificant part and parcel which attains yogic siddhi can lift much, much bigger bow of the mountain than Krishna has lifted. If his part and parcel Pulastya Muni lifted such a huge mountain, lakhs of kilometers, miles in the sky, effortlessly like a ball, like a child, his master, the source of his existence, the Supreme Lord, why can't he lift that mountain? his expansion called Ananta Shesh is holding all the creation. Not one mountain or one planet, you know. All the creation, all the Brahmandas, all the universes on his head. And peacefully singing the glories of the Lord. No efforts. That is his expansion. Balramji's expansion, Ananta Shesha. And Balram is the expansion of Krishna. So Krishna basically doesn't do any work. He only enjoys. So this is the, in short, story of Govardhan's appearance. And Govardhan is celebrated as the Haridasa Varya. Haridasa Varya means the topmost of all servants of Hari. And who is saying that? Not just ordinary people are saying this. If you want to ask, yahan par acha khana kahan milta hai? So you will ask people who are well to do and who eat always good food and opulent food. You will ask them. So you will get a real answer. He will say, go to this place. You will get good food. So you will hope that those people who have a taste and capacity to eat good food, they are telling you, so you must be sure that it's a nice place. But some beggar on the road tells you, go here, nice food. You say, how can I go there? What kind of food he must be eating? So his good food, matlab, some Irani hotel ka patata vada. So like that, who is calling Govardhan as Haridasa Varya? There is something called as cows and peacocks and all. They are in the mood of Shantaras. They serve Krishna. Then there are servants of Krishna, Dasyaras. Then there are friends of Krishna, Sakhyaras. Coward boys who don't treat him like Lord. They just play with him as equal. Then there is Vatsalyaras. There are parental people, big gopas and big gopis. They treat Krishna as their own child. And don't treat him as God. They punish him. They show him stick also. Sometimes use harsh words. Sometimes sing lories in the night. And then there are gopis who are in Shringar Ras. They love Krishna as paramour. Their love is supposed to be the topmost of all love. It's a big, deep subject matter. I'm not qualified to speak about it. But suffice to know that gopis are the topmost servants of Krishna. Even Mother Yashoda cannot match with them. He leaves Mother Yashoda and goes to meet gopis in the middle of the nights. So these gopis are also of different levels. There are kinkaris, there are dasis, there are sakis, there are sahacharis, there are mahasakis, there are paramashrestha sakis, and that is ashtasakhi, last ones. Lalita, Vishakha. This is the best of all sakis. There are millions and billions of sakis, and out of that, 8 are most principal. And out of the 8, 2 are most principal, Radha and Chandravali. I told you about Chandravali yesterday. But even among the 2, the best of all, best of best, is Radharani. And that Radharani is saying that Govardhan, you are Haridasa Varya. One who is the best of all servants of Krishna. She is saying, Govardhan, you are so fortunate. We only meet Krishna after sunset. But Krishna is with you right from the day morning. When he is playing with cows and cowherd boys, he is with you. When Mother Yashoda comes to see him, he is with you. When we meet you, still he is there with you. He is observing everything. He is constantly accompanying you and taking the nectar of your company and association. You are more fortunate than us also. We have to wait till the sun sets. We keep cursing the sun. Go fast. We have to meet our beloved. But for you, there is no bondage of sun and moon. 24 hours, Krishna is performing his loving pastimes on you. So you are the best. So when the best of best people call you best, that means you are really best. That is the glory of Govardhan. He is being glorified by the best of servants of Krishna, that is gopis. And as I told you, he is filled with beautiful sitting places, waterfalls, jewels, lakes, beautiful grass for the cows to eat and give milk to the Brajvasis, which is their prime business as Vaishyas, and maintain their livelihood in existence on the cows, and those cows are maintained by Govardhan, because Govardhan gives nectarian soft and fresh grasses always, and all Brijvasis prefer the cows to come to Govardhan to eat the fresh grass and drink nectarian waters in the lakes of Govardhan, rest at that under the trees of Govardhan, and the cowherd boys will come and then whatever kind of fruits they want, all kinds of fruits are available, berries and most succulent and tasty fruits are available. Nice shades are available to take rest when they are tired. There are beautiful caves available to meet privately or to sleep or to whatever you want. There are beautiful places like thrones are available where Krishna can be seated as a king sometimes whenever they want to glorify him. Every possible arrangement is there to comfort and give happiness to Krishna and all the gopis and cowherd boys. And it is explained today also when you go and see Govardhan, little later we'll have darshan. The stones are very, 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 very divine. Some stones are bluish, some stones are whitish. They represent Krishna and Balaram, or Krishna and Radha. If you go deeply and see, sometimes you can understand that there are many pastimes already imprinted on them. Krishna is herding cows, Krishna is meeting gopis, Krishna is holding hand of Radharani, Krishna's every single thing is, you can see, imprinted and carved on the stones naturally. And also when Krishna would come with Balaram and cowherd friends, generally stones are very hard, you know. Whenever you walk barefoot on the stone, you will be pain in the legs. But moment they will come, cowherd boys, cows and Krishna Balaram will come, with their each step, Govardhan will become soft like butter. For two reasons. One reason is, he wants to please Krishna's lotus feet and give them pleasure, so he becomes soft like butter. And second thing is, as soon as Krishna and Balaram touch their feet upon him, he becomes ecstatic. An ecstasy of joy and happiness, he melts. And whenever they walk, there are footprints. So if you go to Govardhan, there are many, many footprints of Krishna and Balaram. Many places you will find. Many are lost in the course of time. Many are preserved by the Brajvasis. You can see the mood of Govardhan. You know? By every activity, by everything, he wants to just please Krishna and Balaram. And that was the mission of not only Govardhan, it's also a mission of our life also. He has got PhD in that, maybe multiple PhDs in serving. We are just beginners. We are learning. But goal is same. To cultivate the desire, utter intense desire at any cost, to always, continuously please the Lord. And when He is pleased, our life is successful. So, and if we are sitting at the bank of Kusum Sarovar, this place in Govardhan is a very special place. This whole forest is called as Kusum Van, or Suman Van, or Pushpa Van, whatever you say. A forest of flowers. And the gopis will always come here to pluck flowers to serve Krishna, to make garlands and decorations. They always come here. But this was not their garden. It's somebody else's garden. But they will come running and stealing, hiding, and they will pluck flowers and run away like that. So one time they were very, very busy in plucking flowers. And you know, when they serve, they don't serve like us, you know. They're doing some service, but mind is thinking of something else, and we're divided, you know. Our ekagrata is not there. We are always divided. Bahushakam. Our intelligence is always multi-branched. So always thinking of, there are parallel lines going on in the brain, no? Something is think for business, some of family, some of money, some of these, some anxieties, and some work is going on with hand. It's almost mechanical. In our nursing we say, nursing with hands and nursing with heart. They are two different things. Operating with hands, operating with heart. Absolute different things like that. When one is mechanical, and one is absolutely from the bottom of the heart. So when the gopis do any service to Krishna, their whole being is completely immersed in that seva with full concentration. So when they are plucking flowers, they are only meditating. This flower, so beautiful looking, so beautifully fragrant. I will pick these flowers up and I will make garland like this today. They are only meditating constantly in deep meditation while doing the service. So naturally they are fully engrossed. So all the gopis were fully engrossed in picking flowers. And suddenly one sound came. A sound of a stick being hit on the ground. It was very mild in the beginning. And some gopis' meditation of plucking flowers broke. And they saw that the Mali is coming. So they alerted other gopis. Oh Lalita, oh Tungavidya, oh Sudevi, oh Manjari, wake up. Mali is coming, we'll be caught. So like that everybody's meditation broke and everybody was, you know, awakened. To the external reality that the Mali is going to come and catch you. And the sound of stick being hit to the ground was coming closer and louder. Naturally everybody became alert, started running away. But Radharani was somehow so much engrossed. She took some long time to come out of that consciousness of plucking flowers. And by the time half the gopis were already running. And half the gopis were losing the flowers which they collected, falling from their cloth. And Radharani, by the time she came to external consciousness, gopis were quite half the way far and she wanted to run away, but her cloth was stuck with many, many thorns around. So she would try to release her cloth from here, it would get stuck over here. And the sound was coming closer and closer. Thak, thak, thak. And she was like so scared. And they're saying, Radha, Rishi Bhanu Dulari, Bhanuja, come run, he has come closer. And she wanted to really run and she was scared. She started sweating and the beautiful droplets of sweat came on her forehead and started falling on the ground, on her cloth also. And she couldn't release her cloth. And the sound of calling from gopis, Radha, oh Radha, were becoming fainter and fainter and fainter because they were running far and far and far. The sound of stick was coming closer and closer and louder and louder. And finally, she just couldn't release herself. She was stuck in the bushes. And the Mali came. And finally made a last shot on the ground and stood like this with the hands on his waist with angry red eyes about to punish the miscreant, the thief of flowers. And Radharani was looking everywhere. Nowhere her friends were there. Her flowers had fallen down on the ground and got dirty with the dust. And she was looking where to run. And the Mali was looking right into her eyes with great anger. And she was trembling with fear, sweating like anything out of fear. And suddenly the Mali smiled. And she was like wondering, Hari, what happened? How the mood has changed suddenly? And then Krishna revealed his form as a Mali. Oh, Gopal, it is you. I thought today my life is finished. I'll be punished and arrested. Oh, thank. Thank the Creator. Vidhata. Vidhata means Brahma actually. They were also addressing to some Lord, you know. Nanda Maharaj was worshipping Vishnu form and Gopis were worshipping Devi, and but their heart was with Krishna. I thank the Vidhata that today I was saved. But tell me one thing. How did you choose to do this Leela today? My all friends have gone. They also could have met you here. No, today I wanted to meet you alone. So I somehow arranged to chase them away. And somehow you got stuck and you are with me alone. And he said, what if people see you with me? We'll both will be in trouble. So she said, what are you doing here? Radharani said, I was plucking flowers to please you, to make garlands for you, to decorate you and to decorate myself. So I look beautiful so that you can be pleased to see me. Said, what do you do with the flowers? Every day we pluck flowers and we go to Jamuna and wash the flowers with the Jamuna water. He said, let's go and wash. No, it's all public road from here to Jamuna. Everybody will see us and news will go to my mother-in-law Jatila and my sister-in-law Kutila. And what will happen to me further? So I cannot walk you with you. But I have to wash these flowers. So she said, why you want to walk? I'll bring Jamuna over here. What Krishna cannot do? So he just invited Jamuna over here. And his heel thumped in the ground. And made a hole in the ground. And invited Jamuna, please come and pour your waters. My beloved Radharani wants to wash her flowers. And what was formed? Kusum Sarovar. Which is in front of you. Kusum Sarovar ki jai ho. Kusum Sarovar is formed by the thump of his heel. And Jamuna ji coming and pouring her waters. Scriptures explain that this sarovar is 80,000 miles deep. Anybody wants to explore, you can explore. And then it was right in the middle of the forest only. Nobody could see. So they came, picked the flowers up which were fallen on the ground, and they washed the flowers over here. And that day, instead of Radharani making garlands and decorating Krishna, Krishna made garlands and decorated Radharani's hair, sitting at the bank of this Kusum Sarovar. So there is a small temple we will go on the way. In that temple, very small temple, very beautifully maintained, nicely devotionally maintained temple. It is Radha Van Bihari Mandir. Radha Van Bihari Mandir, what is the Murti? Murti is not having Radha Krishna next to one another. Murti is Radha is sitting and Krishna is sitting behind her and he has a comb in the hand and he is combing Radharani's hair. And Radharani is unable to even not see Krishna for one moment also. Now if somebody is in front of you, how can you see the person behind? So Radharani is holding a mirror, not to see herself, her face, but to see Krishna's face constantly while he is decorating her hair. Generally, you know, you mothers are decorating or combing hairs of your daughters. So what do they do? They want a mirror to see how mommy is doing and they want to see themselves. But Radharani is not doing that. Radharani is holding the mirror to constantly see Krishna, decorating her. That is devotion. No self in between, only Krishna. There is no selfish or self-centered activity. Bhakti means only Krishna conscious activities, Krishna centered activities. Rest everything is mila to mila, nahi mila to nahi mila. Maro bhi rakho bhi jo iccha tuhar. So we'll go, why I did not take you before? Because you may not understand what the Murti is all about. Now when you will go and see, you will understand. Oh, see how beautifully Krishna is sitting. How lovingly he is decorating her hair. And how Radharani is not looking at herself, but looking at Krishna in the mirror. This is Radha Ban Bihari Dila. First time when we had come here in 1986, somehow my wife got sick and we also got stuck over here. And we went to that temple to take rest. And there was an old Baba was there. And that Baba told us in his Brajbasi language all this story which I narrated to you. Such a memorable event in my life, you know. I lost the yatra, they went ahead and I was with my wife taking care of her. And we heard the story from that Baba's mouth only. And then Baba left his body, his wife is there. And they are so much in love with ISKCON devotees that Baba, when he left his body, he gave the power of attorney to his wife. And his wife gave that power of attorney to a devotee of ISKCON. And the devotees from Scotland, they are maintaining that temple there. And one devotee couple from Radha Gopinath temple also has come there to help them to maintain this beautiful temple, which has a beautiful story actually. Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shyam. So at this moment we will sing one song, we'll just refresh ourselves and continue further our stories. Okay? Hare Krishna.